I'm Jesse.
And I'm Erin, and we're the Cage Queens.
Fuck this.
And we're in person, and I don't know why this is so much more awkward.
Because we have to sit across from the table from each other and, like, look at each other.
Yeah, this is too much. Oh, man. But speaking of too much, there has been a lot that has happened since we last recorded. Meaning that we both moved.
Yeah, I moved state lines and you moved county lines.
Yes, yes. And it has been a fucking whirlwind. So, I bought my first house. And I moved in last weekend. And, you know, I didn't really have too much stuff. And Ozzy came over to, like, help me out. And the previous owners, they left a couple things. And a couple of things that they left were, like, little garden statues. And a couple of them were, like, angels. And then another one was this very creepy-looking little girl. And my dad's so weird. He's like, wow, those statues are awesome! And so he's like, you want them? And he's like, I would love that!
Your dad is one of my, like, favorite human beings.
He's just such a goof. I borrow my mom's car, and I'm like, okay, I'll load them up for you guys, and then I'll drive it back to your house, because they live close to me, my new house. And so Ozzy was still here, and my mom texts me. She's like, do not bring that little girl over here. I don't want it. So it was late at night. We were loading up the statues into the car, and then the little girl statue is the only one left. I was like, I don't know what to do with it. And I was like, it just looked haunted. Okay. And so I was like, I don't want to throw it away because it's going to give me bad vibes, and I don't want that. So I told Ozzy, I was like, you throw it away. He's like, I'm not throwing it away. And so then we were going back and forth. And then I was like, whatever, we'll just give it to my mom and she can throw it away if she doesn't want it. And so we loaded it up in the car. We go back to go inside. Turns out, front door is locked. I was like, huh,
oh,
that's peculiar. I was like, let me check the side door. Go to the side door. That one is also locked. I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is payback for talking about this haunted statue, just even thinking about throwing it away. I was like, now I'm locked out of my fucking house at 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday. And so then I had to call a 24-hour locksmith because I haven't given anybody keys yet, because I was like, I'm going to get the keys, you know, rekeyed or whatever. So I was like, no point. So nobody else had spares. And so I had to call a stupid-ass locksmith. And then the one that we found, he showed up and he like goes to the front door, and it was only the doorknob that was locked. And he's like, okay, first I'm going to try to, like, you know, get in it, trying to, like, pick it. And so he just, like, you know, like, he just, like, jams in a little, like, needle and wiggles around for like 2 seconds. He's like, yeah, that's not going to work. He's like, I'm going to need to drill it. And he's like, you know, that's going to be extra. And we're like, well, whatever. I mean, what else are we going to do? And so the man just takes a drill, drills into the lock, and then opens it. He's literally, it took him 2 minutes, and he's like, that will be $300.
What the fuck?
I was shook. Because I've locked myself out in, you know, my apartment before, and it was a deadbolt that I locked out, and they replaced it, and that was $150. And so, you know, that's what I was expecting. I was like, if I knew he was just gonna fucking drill it, we would have just gone and bought a drill. Like, that would have been cheaper. So yeah, I got locked out of my house, and then I had to pay a substantial fee to get back into it. But then I was like, man, that little statue really jinxed me. And I was like, but hopefully that's the only thing that goes wrong. Knowing damn well I'm foreshadowing. So not too long after, I'm driving the old truck, and the truck really hasn't given me any problems. But, you know, it's old, it's almost got 300,000 miles on it. I am driving along a, like, I go to Sam's Club to pick up some groceries, and then I'm on my way back, and then, the truck is a stick shift, and all of a sudden, the clutch goes all the way to the floor, and there's no, like, give on the clutch, which means I can't put it in gear to drive, and I'm on the intersection of a main road and, the highway, and so I just stop, and it's like, now it's like, you know, rush hour, it's getting dark, it's raining outside, I'm at the intersection, there's nowhere to even push my car because it's a highway in front of me.
Yeah.
And so I'm just sitting there, and once again, no one gets out to help me. I'm literally, so I call, you know, roadside assistance, I try to get out a tow truck, I call multiple tow truck companies, like, no one's even answering me, and I'm just feeling so defeated at this point. And so I'm just, like, sitting there for 15 minutes, like, what the fuck do I do? And then eventually some guy comes out, and he's like, okay, let me push you at least to the shoulder, and then a cop shows up, and the cop's like, oh, yeah, I'll do that too. And so they get out and help me. And then now I'm on the shoulder of the fucking highway, which I'm like, I don't know how this is any safer for me. I feel like I'm in more harm's way now, but whatever. And so I finally get a hold of a tow truck who comes out and gives me a tow back to my house. But yeah, I was probably waiting in traffic for a total of maybe, like, 45 minutes, just sitting in my car, like, what do I do? So that was great. I got to ride in tow truck. My favorite thing to do. Yeah, I made an awkward conversation with the tow truck driver, like, so how long you've been doing this?
I acted like you care.
Right? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just really trying to get this over with. So, yeah, the tow truck driver drops off my truck, and, you know, of course, it's late at night. He's got his flashers on and causing a fucking scene in this neighborhood I just moved into. And so then the next day, my neighbor comes over, and she's like, I just wanted to make sure you're okay. Oh, Jesus Christ. So the little statue continues to give me grief. So I shouldn't have fucking talked negatively towards it. I'm hopeful that that's it, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens next.
The fun part of owning a home is all the shit you end up having to pay for.
Yep. And the funny thing too is, like, I'm like, wow. Cause I went over budget on this house. Cause I was like, it's everything I want.
Yeah.
I was like, now I have no money to, like, save for extra things. And I'm like, nah, I don't need it. And I'm like, Mom. Oh, God, it's so embarrassing. But, what can you do?
I'm sure your parents love having you.
Yes.
Close.
And I'm like, Mom, you're... Because when I was talking to her about the house, I was like, Mom, this is over budget. I can't afford to buy a car now. And she's like, well, you can just use my car. So I called her up. I was like, hey. You just tap into that favor you offered me.
That you weren't expecting to do that so soon.
Right? God damn. So, yeah, it's been fun. Homeownership, man.
Yeah, we've both been pretty wrecked because I had my first week of work at my new job, which was a lot, but it was good. After not talking to Drew for 4 years, I now have to talk to him just about every fucking day.
Jesus.
Yeah, and we carpool to things now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So... yeah.
Is there any awkward energy there, or is it kind of, like, back to old times?
It's pretty much back to, like, our old shit. Good. You know, there isn't a whole lot different there. And Drew tells me lots of things I probably shouldn't know, but, you know.
That's,
pretty,
I mean,
standard.
Yeah. I mean, sounds like Drew. Oh, God. So, have you had to do, like, field work?
Yeah, so I spent my first 3 days in Lansing doing all the bullshit there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thursday, which it was decided on Wednesday that we were going into the field on Thursday.
Oh, fun.
And then Drew was like, hey, you want a carpool? Like, God, I guess so, whatever. Because I don't know where the fuck I'm going, so. Yeah, did one day of field work on Thursday, which was pretty alright. Fell into some mud pretty quick on my first day. Didn't have any of my, like, field shit.
Right.
Because it's at my mom's in the garage. So, yeah, it was fine. It was fine. It was an interesting experience. I don't really care, though. Getting back out in the field in Michigan is better than what I did in Nebraska. So I can't complain.
100%.
But I guess part of my job is I have to do, like, interview requests and stuff like that sometimes, you know, with the media. Mm. It'll be a while before I get there, because they need to make sure that I'm not going to fuck up.
They're going to say something stupid.
Yeah. So, that's going to be fun.
Oh, God. I do not miss those days.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to get presentation requests, oh, I'm all sure. The time.
Yeah, that's going to be a big part of my job, is, like, just presenting. And
wow. Whatnot. But, I mean, it's good. Skill building.
Mm-hmm.
As much as it sucks doing, at least you'll be progressing in your career in that sense.
Yeah, it won't be bad. Those your squeaky ass seats are gonna.
You mean this?
Yeah, our audio is gonna be so bad for a little while because I'm not doing this from my grandma's, like, upstairs where she can hear me talking.
So embarrassing.
Yeah, because she's gonna ask what I'm doing and I don't want to get into that conversation.
Yeah, no.
You know? She doesn't even know about this shit.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, so lucky us. Or should I say, lucky audience. For getting to listen to this.
1, 2, 3, go.
Oh God, yeah, I guess we've, we got the fun part over. So now we gotta get into it and tell the people what we watched this week.
Yeah, so we watched Mom and Dad, which came out in 2017. It's rated R, hour and 26 minutes, and it's basically about this incident that happens where parents try to kill their children. It's pretty much the whole movie, and, you know, we follow the kids mostly, throughout trying to survive their parents. Nick obviously plays the dad, and then there's Selma Blair as the mom, Kendall, and then the two kids, teenager Carly and child Josh. And then they have friends, or at least Carly has friends that show up to briefly. So, yeah, it's more on, like, the thriller side. There's definitely, like, gory parts. Obviously, kids are getting killed. and adults are getting killed, too. So, pretty fun shit if you're into it. But,
yeah. So, it was definitely, you know, interesting concept. We start out looking where... You know, it's kind of like typical suburbia where, you know, we got these high school teens that are flirting. We have this family getting ready to start their day and there's breakfast banter about how, you know, the teens wants to go out, but they have to...
They're having dinner with the grandparents.
Yeah, dinner with grandparents, so teen doesn't get to do what they want. And yeah, and so So we got Nick, the mom, the teen is, what's her name, Carly?
Carly, yeah.
And then the boy, the younger sibling is Josh. And so, yeah, there's just this dynamic in the beginning with Carly and her mom about, you know, she's just going through the typical, like, teenage girl phase where there's becoming distance. And, you know, she's rebelling in the sense, like, she's stealing money from her mom's wallet so she can get drugs. And, you know, her mom's just like, oh, we used to be best friends. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, and so there's a little bit of tension in that relationship. But, yeah, I mean, pretty typical. And then there's also the relationship with Nick and his boy, his pride and joy. And, you know, his son just really idolizes Nick because he's a cool dad. And yeah, so there's like that whole dynamic, but yeah, so that kind of intros us into the movie.
Yeah, they also have a housekeeper who's like a Chinese woman who is there cleaning the house with her daughter and like prepping food and whatever. That's Sun Yi. I only bring her up because she's also a parent, obviously, so there's a violence element there. But there's a lot of flashbacks in this movie, too, of like, you know, how their relationships used to be and whatnot. Like, there's one where when Nick's going to work, he has a flashback of doing donuts in a Trans Am with a topless girl on his lap, literally like slapping her titties all over his face.
The good old days.
But it's not Nick who's actually in the seat because he's supposed, you know, it was his teenage years, so it was a different actor, thankfully. Because how weird would that be if it was like Nick?
I bet Nick wishes he probably volunteered, like, hey, you sure you don't want me to play that role?
Yeah, just put some makeup on me, make me look a little younger, give me a wig. Nothing he's not used to. But he clearly, like, is kind of resenting his life now. He doesn't want to be the businessman. He wants to be that reckless teen. But then at high school, we see one of Carly's friends, Riley, who's also like a rich suburban kid. She gets caught listening to music because she's going too hard, you know, two headphones in, goes too hard, gets caught. Teacher takes her cell phone, and then Carly also gets caught texting because the teacher texts her like, hey, you bring your phone up front too. So she gets caught, and so now she doesn't have her phone anymore, you know, her primary source of communication. And pretty quick, the teacher gets like a phone call from like the wall phone, the school phone. He gets a couple of them for certain students to like go to the office because there's an incident happening, and the police cars start showing up outside the school, and the teacher's like, you know, we're just, it's nothing, no big deal, whatever. And it's not too long after that the alarm goes off and all the kids have to evacuate, and they all go outside, and there's police trying to hold back parents along the fence line, and they're like trying to get their kids to come with them. And one kid, he hops the fence and immediately gets attacked by his own mom, and she like stabs him with her car keys. And then all hell breaks loose because the kids start running as the parents start climbing over the fence and chasing them. And then you see like one parent like take a trash bag and suffocate their child. And like, yeah, it's pretty brutal that, you know, all that's happening. And Carly and Riley are able to escape because Riley drove that day. So they take her car and go back to Riley's house.
I know this is the way things are supposed to be.
At Riley's house, they like turn on the news to try to see what's going on, and then Riley goes upstairs, and then her mom is actually up there, and you know, they still don't really understand what's happening, and then her mom obviously yells her, and then Carly goes upstairs and she like witnesses it, and the mom is like just like pleasant towards Carly, like, oh, hey, honey. And so they obviously only have this drive to kill their own children, not all children. And so Carly freaks the fuck out. She goes outside, and lo and behold, she runs into her, I think, boyfriend type of character who plays a pretty big role later on. His name is Damon. And he is, he's kind of like a protector, but he already went home and experienced, his own interaction with his father, who sounded like he kind of already had like an abusive past. He was an alcoholic. And so at first Damon was like, you know, hey, you're acting up again. But then, you know, the situation escalated where he noticed that his dad was trying at all costs to try to kill him. And so then Damon had to take the upper hand, and it kind of made it seem like he had to kill his dad.
Yeah, his dad came at him with a broken bottle, and Damon tried to like slow him down basically by pushing a table in front of him, and he fell over that table and ended up stabbing himself in the neck.
Yeah.
And he died.
Yeah.
So Damon is already clear. Yeah.
Right? And yeah, I think he's a child of divorce. So yeah. Don't have to worry about mom. And so yeah, he goes and he finds Carly and he's just like, hey, we gotta stay away from your parents, mm-hmm. but first let's go get Josh.
Right. And while they're going through their shit, before they get to the house, Josh experiences his own trauma, basically, because he is playing in the house and he hears something behind him during, like, a flashback scene. Like, I'm not gonna go into the flashback because it doesn't really have a ton to do with, like, the main story. But it's just, you know, more highlighting of his relationship with Nick. But in the kitchen behind him, Sun Yi has murdered her own daughter, Lisa, that is witnessed by Josh, who freaks the fuck out, rightfully so, and he goes and hides under a bed. Sun Yi is cleaning up the mess when Carly and Damon come inside. She's like confused about why everybody's acting so crazy, and she's got like a mop full of blood, and Carly's like, please get the fuck out of the house. So she ultimately does leave the house, and Carly goes to find her brother Josh. And he's freaking out, and she's like, you know, we need to leave before mom and dad get home. So they're trying to escape just as our boy Nick gets home.
Wah, wah.
Uh-huh. And he catches Damon first because Damon's on the main floor and Carly and Josh are upstairs. So he sees Damon and immediately starts accusing him of, you know, whatever he believes he's guilty of, because he doesn't like that she has this older boyfriend, because they're only like a year difference. But there's a problem, apparently, and who knows what the actual problem is, but Nick has his issues, and so he, I'm pretty sure, hits him right away and knocks him out.
Yeah, and it, like, we see Damon's head gushing blood, and so we don't really know the status of him, but he's out cold for now. And there was, There was a scene on the news where, like, people, where they were earlier, where they were trying to, like, figure out what's happening, and someone said, like, oh, this is a common phenomenon in nature called savaging, where the parent tries to kill their offspring, mm-hmm. and he's like, it happens with pigs.
Yeah, that was Dr. Oz.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, that's kind of the thing that they, said was happening, and they're like, I don't know if it's like biological warfare or what, but mm-hmm. that's kind of the thing that's going on now. And so, yeah, after Nick kind of knocks out Damon, the kids are, both Carly and Josh, they escape into the basement, mm-hmm. and we see another flashback scene of Nick having a goddamn midlife crisis, because he ends up, getting into building a pool table, and, you know, he's getting frustrated because it's not level, and then, you know, he finally gets it level, and then his wife comes downstairs and, like, what's going on? Like, you're trying to have a man cave, and Nick's like, yeah, is it so bad to want something for myself? And he just kind of, like, spirals and takes it as, like, you know, I don't, like, this shit's hard. Like, I'm not who I used to be. And then the mom can really resonate with that. And then Nick ends up, you know, destroying the pool table out of rage because he's so mad about his life, mm-hmm. and then they just kind of sit and talk about how life sucks now. But the mom kind of just goes into it, how she's like, oh, all I've ever wanted to be was mom, and you hyped up this experience so much, and then it happens, and then it's just over, and then it just doesn't fulfill your expectations. And so, yeah, it's just kind of depressing.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to grab the world by the balls and squeeze.
Okay, we didn't even talk about Kendall.
Mom experience.
Right. Let's go back to her perspective for a second. She, after she drops Carly off at school, I'm assuming she goes straight to her this booty poppin' dance class, mm-hmm. that she does with Riley's mom. And they do that together, and Riley's mom's definitely trying to hoe around in the dance class. But they get, like, coffee afterwards and talk about how much they hate their daughters. Like, Riley's mom is so jealous of her daughter's, like, body. And, and she's like, she's such a bitch because she steals my money. And, you know, not surprising that yours would steal money out of your wallet, too, since you're missing $100. And Kendall, like, I think is pretty hurt by that. Maybe not believing it entirely, but she's not, you know, it's definitely, like, happening. So she goes, she goes back to an old job because she needs, like, fulfillment in her life again because she thinks she's not needed by her children. And this job she left, like, 15 years ago to have kids. And she's like, you know how you said anytime they can come back? The guy that she worked with was like, ooh, I didn't think you were going to take that so literally.
Yikes. Yeah.
So he denies her. She cries in her car for a minute and is interrupted by the news that her sister is, like, going into labor. And so she goes to meet her at the hospital. And, like, the baby delivery happens, and she's reassuring her, like, oh, you're gonna be such a great mom, you know, it's, like, don't be scared about it, it's gonna be a great experience, once you hear your baby cry, you're just gonna fall in love, and, the baby is born, is placed in the mother's arms, and, the trigger that, you know, triggers all the parents happens in the room, which is, we haven't talked about it, but it's just, like, static, basically, on the TV or whatever, the trigger happens, and then the mom, Jeannie, starts, like, crushing the baby in her arms, and the doctors and Kendall are freaking the fuck out, and they're trying to get the baby out of her arms, and then she grabs, like, a scalpel and goes for the baby, but they pull, like, Kendall is able to get the baby in her arms, and then they cut the umbilical cord when it's, like, taut, so she goes flying against the wall, and they get Jeannie sedated, and Kendall tries to, like, run away and hide with the baby, but the doctors are like, we kind of need the baby because we got to protect it. So she reluctantly gives up the baby and kind of starts making her way home. And on the news that she's listening to on the radio, they're telling, like, the parents, basically. They're like, we know you want to be with your kids. We know that's where you're going to want to go first, but you cannot go to your children. And, of course, she does go home, where she finds Nick.
Yep, and Nick is trying to get to the kids in the basement, and then mom comes home and she starts sweet talking the kids, like, oh, I know you're scared, please come out, oh, we'll make it all better. And then the kids are like, no. You're lying to me.
Right. They know they're trying to be, like, they know their parents are trying to kill them.
Yes. So yeah.
They're not coming out.
And so, and Nick's like, nah, we need this motherfucking door open. And so then they try to start, like, problem solving how they're going to get the kids out. Mom gets the Sawzall. And she starts trying to chop the door, like, chop a hole in the door to get in. And then fucking Josh shoots her through the door with a gun, and we find out that, you know, again, as part of Nick's midlife crisis, he got a gun, and, you know, he kept it in a locked case, but the password was Josh's birthday, and so Josh, you know, found it and figured it out and was playing with it, and so, yeah, that was one thing he had to grab before they went down in the basement. So he shoots the mom in the shoulder.
Yeah, Nick helps her clean and bandage the wound, and he's like, we should take the bullet out, and she's like, no, just fucking bandage it, let's, like, get back to our shit. And so after that, Kendall has an idea, and her plan is to hook a garden hose up to the gas line in the kitchen and pipe it into the basement and basically, like, gas the kids out until they pass out, and then they can get the door open without having to worry about them getting shot again. And like, my first thing here is, why didn't the kids try to get out the basement window before this happened?
I know.
You know? Like, I feel like they should have definitely tried that maneuver instead of just sitting in the basement and waiting.
Yeah.
But, like, the mom goes, she takes the hose around the house. She checks the trash cans as she's walking by, and there's Lisa. She got dumped. And she's just like, eh, all right. And then puts the hose in through the window, tapes it in place, and then throws dirt up against the window. So it seems very plausible that the kids could have even gotten out of the window, like, then. You know, but
Yeah, yeah, or that the parents could have tried to shimmy through the window to get to them. Like, somebody could have been using this window, but whatever, they decide the gas system is what they need to do to get out, to get the kids.
Motherfuckers! You're going to open this motherfucking door!
And so the kids, they realize that there's, you know, something's going on, and they're coughing, and they're... eyes are watering, and so, you know, they waited out for a little bit, but then they get to a point where they're like, fuck, this is, like, we're gonna get got if we stay in here. And so they kind of rig up a system where they put matches on the bottom of the door, to, like, when it opens, the matches will strike and then cause an explosion. And so... they, like, set this up so that whoever opens the door is gonna get, like, fucked up. And then they are gonna go, like, crawling through the vent.
Yeah. This vent that has to be open to the rest of the house. So yeah. If they're, like, filling the basement with gas, it's also probably going through that vent.
Right.
But.
Yeah. But whatever. Apparently the explosion just stays by the door. So yeah, they, Nick is fooled into opening the door because, like, their sign was like, okay, as soon as, like, we hear the kids coughing, like, we know they're gonna be so weak. and so they open the door, and then there's just this funny scene of the explosion happening, and we get, like, a zoom in of Nick's face, who's just getting, like, blown away by the heat, and his, like, turkey neck is, like, wobbling. so that was pretty funny. But, yeah, so Nick is, he was the one that was kind of bared the brunt of the explosion, and so he's out. But Kendall, she's kind of off to the side, and so she gets up and continues to go look for the kids. And at this point, it's kind of again assuming Nick is dead. But
yeah, so she can hear the kids upstairs because they climbed through the vent, and apparently it went all the way upstairs. And they are trying to continue their escape. They get upstairs. She comes after them with her, like, meat hammer. And Damon is still part of the story here. He shows up, and
the crazy thing to me is that Damon is still willing to help. After, like, he got fucked by Nick. And, like, he's, like, still trying to, like, involve himself. Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I would have left this situation a long time ago. Not my fucking problem.
Because Damon continues to get fucked. So they go in the closet, and the mom is like, or she gets locked in the closet, and the kids are holding the door shut, and she grabs, like, a clothes hanger, a metal one, and she, like, pokes it through the hole, and then it pierces through Damon's cheek. So he's like a fish on a hook.
Yeah.
And he just gets absolutely wrecked. And then not only that, she breaks out, and then she pushes him over the top of the stairs. So he just falls down.
He looks dead.
He looks so fucking dead. And so we're like, okay, Damon's finally, he's done.
Yeah. And then Nick is back. And he's got a Sawzall, and Kendall is with him side by side with her meat hammer, and they are closing in on the kids. They're cornering them, and they're going to kill them when suddenly the doorbell rings because grandparents are here for dinner, and they completely forgot about this arrangement. So it's Nick's parents, so he goes to the door to answer it. As soon as he opens it, his mom pepper sprays him in the face, and his dad starts stabbing him in the gut.
I thought this was the best part of the movie. I was like, what a fun twist. Yeah.
It's like, of course, all of the parents are trying to kill their kids. And, yeah, that was probably the most fun twist in the movie. But, yeah, so Nick, he gets pretty brutally attacked by his own parents. And so he kind of runs away from his dad. But then, like, he's still trying to kill Josh. So he's chasing after Josh, barking at him while he chases him. And his dad is chasing him, and his mom is in the kitchen, and Kendall's trying to, like, stop the mom from killing Nick. She's like, don't kill your kid. You know, let us kill our kids, but don't kill your kid, kind of shit. And Josh, Nick, and Grandpa end up in the garage, and we get another fucking flashback of Nick telling his own fuck up to Josh, because apparently Josh had fucked up at one point. And the moral of the story, or the, what I took from the story, was that Nick has the Trans Am because he stole it from his dad and was joyriding, getting titties slapped in his face, and he wrecked that car in that scenario and had to pay his dad back for it. But you know, it's okay because everybody fucks up. That was basically the moral of it.
Yep.
And they end up, like, basically fighting into the Trans Am. Like, the windows get busted. Nick's trying to get inside to get Josh, and he gets, like, stabbed in the butt in the back, like, area.
He gets stabbed so many times.
And he ends up in the driver's seat, and he, like, launches or hits the reverse through the garage out on the lawn. On the lawn, Kendall is chasing Carly and I think knocks her to the ground, and then Grandma, like, knocks Kendall down, and then Damon comes out and
fucking Damon is still
here.
Still involved.
I can't remember who he whacked, if it was Kendall. I don't fucking know, but ultimately, Nick swings the car around, hits Grandma. Grandpa gets fucking wrecked, too. And Kendall and Nick kind of are, like, KO'd at this point. And then they wake up in the basement of their house.
Yeah, and they're tied up, and all the kids are there. And the kids are saying, you know, that they love their parents, and the parents are begging to, like, you know, get let go, and the kids are like, no, we're not gonna let you go after all that bullshit. And then the parents just say, you know, after the kids say, we love you, and then they're like, you know, we love you too, but sometimes we just want to title screen. That was the end of the movie, which felt very unsatisfactory.
Yep, I agree. I did not, like, I understand why they did the abrupt ending, but there's a lot of things that were left unanswered.
Yes, 100%. And it's like, okay, I mean, it was a choice. I don't like when things are left unanswered, because I have so many questions, mm-hmm. but whatever, that's the director's call, I guess. So yeah, that was it. The movie was actually pretty short, which I appreciated. It's like an hour and 20 or something like that. So it was easy to power through.
And the pace was pretty good. I think the mm-hmm. slowest parts were the flashback scenes.
Yeah, definitely. And just like trying to piece together why they were happening and what it was. Because it took a while for all of the different flashbacks to like tie together.
Yeah.
You fucked up, son. But what if I told you I fucked up even worse?
Yeah, I mean, the movie was, it was mid. It was, we did get to see a lot of, like, Nickisms, which, you know.
He was doing his character thing.
Yes, yeah. For sure. Yeah, he got to get kooky, which, you know, some of our favorite work of Nick. But I don't know. It wasn't, like, just the whole plot of the movie and the storyline is just kind of, like, okay.
So, I guess, what would you compare this to right out the gate?
So hard. Yeah, because we know Nick doesn't typically do... I guess this is more of a thriller than a horror, though. Because mm-hmm. I was going to say, Nick doesn't do horrors, which when he did do a horror, we really like that.
Yeah, he needs to do more horror. Horror.
Horror. Oh, God. I don't know. It reminds me of similar to those, like, what's the movie with him? He's got his aviator glasses on the title screen. Or on the
Trespass?
Is it Trespass? It might be.
The hostage movie?
Yeah. Like, I don't know, it's kind of similar vibes to, like, a hostage-type movie for me.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I think it was better than Trespass.
Definitely. Trespass was... slow. Very slow. So I guess, where does Trespass rank? So we can start there.
Low. Oh, 65.
Okay, yeah, so it's way better than that.
I was looking here at Drive Angry.
Yeah.
Kind of in this realm. Maybe a little bit better than...
Yeah, I wouldn't put it any... further up than Season of the Witch, because I liked Season of the Witch more than this.
Dying of the Light. I liked this better than Dying of the Light.
Yeah, so what if we put it below Season of the Witch and above Dying of the Light?
I'm down.
Awesome. So that would make a number 53 out of 83. Pretty mid. but, you know, they all can't be top 10, so...
We do need to chip away at that. I hope we get some good ones.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, so let's see what we have next on the roster, which is... Let me pull it up. So far into his career.
I know.
Okay, so we got the Humanity Bureau, released in 2017. The description is a dystopian thriller set in the year 2030 that sees the world in a permanent state of economic recession and facing serious environmental problems as a result of global warming.
Oh no.
That hits too close to home!
God, we're only 6 years from this. Let's see how it shakes out.
This actually sounds pretty interesting though.
It does.
So let's see who else is on top bill. Anybody we recognize? Nope.
Yeah, literally nobody.
Interesting. So it's got, it's described as a sci-fi thriller. It's got 4.5 rating on IMDb, which this one we just watched had a 5.6. So, but you know, those are so
subjective.
Yeah. Cause like, again, Snowden got 7.3 and we really did not like that one. So we'll be the judge.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think I have something. Just the right thing.
Check us out on Patreon and become a Nick Sack for $1. You'll have access to our bonus episodes covering other Nick media. We have 5 bonus episodes out now, including Nick's Saturday Night Live appearances, The History of Swear Words, our review of The Haunting of Nicolas Cage, a novella, and Dark by Paul Schrader. We are also taking requests, so become a Nick Sack for $1 and let us know what you want to hear. You can also follow us on Instagram at Cage Queens Podcast, where we have a link to our up-to-date movie ranking. Again, that's Cage Queens Podcast on Instagram and Patreon. Thanks for listening.
Oh, you bet I will.
But, yeah, this movie was savage.
Mouth to dildo, dildo to ass, ass to ass, hi, Brent, anal beads. Things I only saw in magazines.